Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
I do want to shift gears slightly because this one is absolutely fascinating. Can water and air pollution have an impact, maybe even a significant impact, on the change of human sex ratio at birth? I guess we've been trying to figure it out for generations. How do you have boys when you want girls? How do you have girls when you want girls? I don't know. Well, you know the whole story. Dr. Lawrence Gobers, healthcare practitioner specializing as an obstetrician and gynecologist. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks, Aaron. How are you?
I am well. So before we get started, if you were to be locked in any store overnight by mistake, which one would you choose?
For me, it would be the Apple Store.
That's a very good choice. I didn't think of it. The Apple Store. So far we've got exclusive books, we've got IKEA, and we've got the Apple Store. I think that's a pretty good one. All right, so let's just talk about this, because can the quality of our air and water impact the gender of our children?
I think before we answer that, we have to it's a whole paradigm shift, because we as the male always get blamed for things. We are told.
Right, yeah, don't we?
You determine the sex, because you carry the X sperm and you carry the Y sperm.
Right.
But we have worked out not so long ago that ultimately it's all in the egg. So the egg says you come in inside, you are staying out. So at the end of the day, we have to now go back and blame our wife.
You know,
we go
one up. I've always wanted to do that.
There we go. Normally we get blamed for everything. And if the wife asks for a boy and it's a girl, we're in deep trouble. So at the end of the day, it actually is relied by the egg determines it. And, you know, if you actually look at an egg under a microscope 3-4 hours after you've put sperm with that egg, there are thousands of sperm bound to the shell of the egg. Only one egg then is allowed to penetrate the egg, and then the egg undergoes a blocking response to prevent more than one sperm from getting into it, otherwise that becomes a genetic overload. So it all sits with the egg. So if we are thinking that perhaps estrogens in the environment or a heavy wind from the southeast or whatever is going to change the ultimate choice that the egg is going to take, well, then maybe. You know, the biggest problem for us in infertility is these trials that I've done are, firstly, they're very small trials. Secondly, there's always these discussions amongst the private people who never went to university, who never paid varsity fees for medical school, and yet they have opinions on what's happening. And I had a look at that article that was sent to us, just to peruse, and it really is a weak article, you know. And I think that at the end of the day, nature is far cleverer than us, and nature will balance anything out. In other words, if for some reason there's something that determines during a period of time on this planet we're going to have more males, you'll see very soon afterwards you're going to have slightly more females. So at the end of the day, unless we can redirect that egg, and yes, one can accept that maybe external factors may be able to change that, I think we need a lot of work done to actually confirm that that is quite correct. I must say, I don't think it's correct.
Right, right. What's so interesting is that we've been trying to figure this out for generations, and very clearly, according to what you're saying, it's really nature's going to determine it, because in fact it needs to in order to perpetuate the survival of the species.
Correct. But there were studies out that came from the French where they said, well, hang on, these male sperm are not as robust as female sperm. So they swim much quicker and they die off much sooner. And also, the male sperm prefer an alkaline environment. And the female sperm, they're the ones that bring up the rear. They travel slower. They last longer. Mm. But they need acid. Now, if we look at that as a theory, the vaginal pH is always acid. So therefore, according to that theory, we would all be females. But the next interesting thing was the adding into that coital technique to say, well, if you, at the time of releasing the sperm, you do it deep in the vagina, you give the male sperm a better chance, so they run a shorter race. And for the female, you need to deposit your sperm more superficial in the vagina, so there's a longer place for the males to run, and then the females will bring up the rear. It is all hogwash. Absolutely hogwash.
That's so funny. That is so funny, because at the end of the day, nature's going to determine this.
No, we've been accused of a lot of things, eh? But this is one of the major issues.
It is absolutely remarkable. In your practice, you know, and you deal a lot with fertility. Is the gender a real concern for people?
Yes, it is. And it depends on the cultural group that we're treating. You know, nowadays we do a lot more what we call pre-implantation genetic testing. So when we've got an elderly couple who've been trying for 5 or 6 years, the biggest issue is that they tend to make the older woman make far more abnormal embryos. And that's one of the reasons why, as a woman ages, they have a lower chance of conception. So we are now able to do the IVF, grow the embryos to day 5 and or day 6, and then we biopsy the embryos. And then put the embryos in the freezer, send off a little bit of DNA to the genetics lab, and a week later, we will know which embryos are boys and girls, and from that, one can determine, well, my next level of treatment. The problem is in our country is the law says you may not gender select, but their reference to gender selection is a reference of, well, here's a male and female with 7 girls, and now they want a boy. So now they want to come using fertility treatment to choose the gender. But those couples we don't work with. But couples who are desperate and haven't got children and are trying for the first time, and we're doing PGTA, biopsying the embryos, and if they have one male and one female, they're going to get each one back. But they'll say, you know what, I want the male first. I'd rather have my firstborn being male and my secondborn being female. And that we do.
Right. Well, that's a different type of a discussion, isn't it? Because that's then you're just given a choice. But it's not choosing from the get-go, maybe.
Correct.
Right. One of our listeners asking about family purity in terms of Jewish law. Does that impact on the potential gender of the child?
No, it doesn't, because again, as I mentioned, it's not related to timing. It's related to the egg determining which sperm it's going to allow in.
Right. Absolutely, absolutely fascinating. But what you are telling us is that this notion of water pollution, air pollution, should have absolutely no impact on the gender of a child.
Well, the one thing I can't answer is, does that in any way affect the egg in a way that the egg then chooses the gender? There's no proof. There really is no proof. And, you know, we know anyway during certain times of the year there does tend to be a bit of gender fluctuation. And, that could be something that is taking an effect at the egg level, certainly not at the sperm level.
Right. Absolutely fascinating. Dr. Lawrence Gobers, healthcare practitioner specializing as an obstetrician and a gynecologist, talking to us this morning answering the question, can water and air pollution have a significant impact on the change of human sex ratio at birth? Dr. Lawrence Gobers, thank you.